Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Yeah, I was gone. I looked myself in the mirror. I came off the beach one day and took a shower, looked in the mirror and saw it. But, you know, it's time. And shaved it. That's exactly how it went down. Just that quick.
If you've seen Christian Yelich during quarantine, you've seen that he grew actually a pretty nice mustache. Some guys, you never know. Could they grow a beard? Some guys can't. Some guys can. Some guys can't. Christian Yelich, I don't know if he can grow the beard part, but he certainly can grow the mustache. And I think it looked good for him. But he did shave it off and he did show up. He and Ryan Braun, who have been working out a little bit together in California, able to see each other, both took a flight to Milwaukee, arrived there. I believe Thursday they got to the ballpark for the first time, did some light workouts. The official day of summer camp is what they're calling it to begin with the Brewers was Saturday, and everybody excited to be back out on the field. Craig Counsell talking, saying, you know, just being on the field, being together again. We got to do it differently. Like, we're spread out. I think some of the more interesting things that we learned over the weekend is they are trying to stay outside as much as possible. Meetings are held like where you might have sat during games. Craig Counsell essentially will stand on the dugout on the first base side and lecture the guys that are sitting out socially distanced. The Brewers, they eat the first base side, the concourse. There's like that bar in the middle. That's where the Brewers go to eat. They are using every part of Miller Park to be inside as little as possible. The locker rooms change and get out of there. The batting cages, trying not to use that. They've got the one field. So there's guys that practice in the morning and in the afternoon, and that's how they're going to do this for a while. Brewers back at practice today and throughout the week, and we should have an MLB schedule at some point today, it sounds like. So we have baseball on the right track. There were some positive cases over the weekend, but I think the numbers were okay. I mean, the numbers lean to some positivity. 1.2% of players had a positive COVID test across all of baseball. And some of those guys asymptomatic. Some of those guys are struggling with it, like Freddie Freeman of the Braves. But 1.2%, which is good. The problem is now with that number being so low, if it gets higher, you know that there is a problem, and it reminds you that the virus is very hard to contain. So that's something we'll certainly keep an eye on. But baseball going full steam ahead, as are a lot of these sports, the NBA being another one. The Bucks, however, a positive test at their practice facility over the weekend, and they're shutting that down. They're leaving for Disney on Thursday, but there's no more practices this week. They were supposed to be practicing today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. They're not going to do that anymore. So we will have the latest on that coming up in about 15 minutes or so, and we'll hear from Chris Middleton, and we'll continue to recap the Bucks season up to this point. But do want to talk a little bit about what Christian Yelich talked about. The one thing that was surprising from Counsell, too, we've heard a little bit from Craig Counsell today. Counsell was asked who could DH with the designated hitter. When you think of the Brewers having a designated hitter in 2020, who's the first name that comes to mind? Ryan Braun. Who's the second? For me, it was like Justin Smoke or Logan Morrison. You know, have some of these power bats. Counsell throws in Yelich's name.
We'll have a number of people in that role for sure. There will not be a starting DH for our team. I think obviously you'll see Ryan there. I probably liked it for Christian Yelich just as much as when I saw the rule as to the ability to keep him in the lineup more games for sure. And especially at the start here, when I think we're going to just have to be really careful with soft tissue injuries for guys. Those are the two names that come to mind right off the bat.
So Yelich could be in that DH role, which, you know, now that Craig Counsell explains it, it makes sense. But at first, I was thinking Braun, and I was thinking some of the other first basemen that could get a turn there. But expect to see Christian Yelich maybe as the DH more. Christian Yelich playing this season was never a tough decision for him. He's a younger guy. He doesn't have a family at home. He doesn't have any children. He doesn't live with anybody, you know, of a certain age or anything. Christian Yelich said, this was actually a pretty easy decision for me to come back and play here in 2020.
For myself, it was an easy call. I really didn't ever have the thought of opting out or anything like that. But like I said earlier, guys are all in different boats. And if you choose to opt out, or if we ever had anybody that chose to opt out, then I would fully support that decision and understand where they were coming from. You know, it's a unique year. It's something that we haven't experienced before, and guys have varying comfort levels with what's going on. So if someone chose not to play on our team, I would definitely support them. I support the guys throughout the league that have already made that decision and chosen not to play. And I do not think that they're going to be the last ones. Even the guys that you see, even as recent as yesterday, I think they're probably going to be more coming as camp goes along. And it's something that you just have to respect as a player, and I definitely do.
Christian Yelich, 28 years old, in very good health, in the prime of his career. Again, doesn't have kids to go home to. This is the prototypical type of guy that you would think would not be as worried. If there's an age group that's not as worried about this pandemic as other age groups, it would probably, be Christian Yelich's age group. But what he does so well there, and what you have to do if you're going to commit to playing baseball, is these guys have to take it as seriously as the guy who's taking it the most seriously. Because if Christian Yelich doesn't think that he's going to get it, and, he does a little bit more outside of the ballpark and then comes back to the ballpark, and then, Ryan Braun picks it up, or one of the Brandon Woodruff picks it up, or Keston Hira picks it up, even if they are relatively healthy, Major League Baseball is not going to let you play if you've got COVID-19. They're not going to do it. So you've got to be as much of a teammate as ever. This is going to be the most that you're ever required to be a teammate, because you're not a teammate when you're at the building. You're not a teammate from 1 o'clock in the afternoon to the last pitch of the game. You're a teammate when you wake up. You're a teammate when you go and get the paper or your mail or some breakfast, or go to a drive-thru. You have to be a teammate 24 hours a day. Your individual actions have a bigger effect on the team than ever before.
I'm in a different situation than a lot of guys. And, as far as I'm not living with family members that are at risk. I'm not, quote unquote, at risk myself with as a high-risk individual with health conditions. So for me, my outlook on it is, you're going to have guys that feel differently about this virus. Some that are very worried, some that aren't, and you have to be respectful to everyone's views and take it upon yourself to take all the precautions and be a good teammate and do the best of your ability. But like you said, at the end of the day, part of that is an unknown where you could do all that stuff, come down with the virus, and you miss up to a month. And I think a big part of this season is going to be dealing with the unpredictable, the unknown, the adversity of, we get tested so much that every other day you could lose one of your guys for an extended period of time.
The kind of testing that they get, as Yelich described over the weekend, it's not the up your nose into your brain testing. It's they spit into something and then find out the results. So it's not as you know, terrifying, but they do it very frequently. Now, this is one of these things. It's not going to go away by the time that the season starts. It's going to make for a very unique 60-game season. Not only are you going to have the threat of COVID-19 in clubhouses, also, if a guy gets hurt, even if it's like a minor injury, 15 games, a 15-game DL, that's a fourth of the season. If a guy struggles and is in a slump, that's a fourth of the season. If the Brewers start 2-7 and, you know, in a long season, it's 2-7, big deal. In a 60-game season, it's a much, much bigger deal. Christian Yelich.
You know, I think this year is unique in the aspect of you just don't really know what you're going to get from anybody. You're going to see really good players that have really bad years. It's going to happen, not only position player-wise, but pitcher-wise. You don't have that large sample size for everything to even out. So if you get off to a tough start or a bad start, you're really behind the eight ball, not only as a player, but if your team gets off to a bad start, you take a 1-10 start or a 2-10 or something like that. You're in a tough position just because you don't have that extended period of time to make that up. And during a normal season, you're going to go the 2-10 or the 2-8s or 1-9s. It's going to happen. But if it happens in this season right off the bat, it's going to be tough to make up that ground. So players, teams, everybody is kind of in a unique situation, and it's going to lend itself to an exciting season and something that I think players, fans, everybody in the game hasn't really seen.
I like what he said there. You know, there's going to be some guys that are going to have rough years. And you look at starting pitchers especially, I think guys are going to drop out this year, and I think that they're going to make up excuses to do it. I don't want to say I brought up one name last week, and then when you were gone on Friday, reports came out that Jose Quintana cut his finger off the field. I told you.
Yeah, what happened there? He was doing dishes?
He was doing dishes. And he cut his finger. Now, this is his last year. He's going to be a free agent. You have a rough year, you could cost yourself a lot of money. Or let's say that you rush to get back, you know, because these guys were already in spring training. Now you go back to spring training 2.0. You blow your arm out. You have an elbow injury. You cost yourself a lot of guaranteed
money. But if there's ever a year to lie, like Jose Quintana's got all the cover.
It's funny that I brought up his name, though. And when you were gone, I wanted to talk to you about this. I said, guys are going to fake injuries,
man. If Quintana would say, look, I'm in a free agent year. I don't want to play. The risk. If he even didn't say that, if he just said the risk is too much, everyone would be like, okay. Oh, he's in a free. Yeah, but whatever, the risk.
But the problem is,
you
know, right.
This is the year you don't have to make up an injury.
No, but the problem is you do, though, because the way that everybody's been treating, like, okay, so if this didn't last for the last 2 months, go on for the last 2 months, the battle between the owners and the players, where everybody was calling the players selfish, these are millionaires versus billionaires, I think players do worry about their reputation a little bit, you know, how you'll be viewed in the clubhouse. Right. I mean, if Jose Quintana just said, hey, look, I'm going to be a free agent, I don't want COVID, I'm not going to pitch this year, then the knock could maybe be like, he's not a team player.
All you have to say is
he didn't
have
a great
COVID
year last year. That's the other thing. He didn't have a great year last year. But I just used his name as an example, and then I saw that he cut his finger.
I don't know. I think guys get a free pass as much as ever this year.
I agree. Like, why should, like, if Mike Trout doesn't want to play baseball, I don't think he should have to.
So if Jose Quintana doesn't want to play, making up an injury is the last thing that he has to do.
You have to look at, though, how you'd be viewed by your teammates. Like, let's use the Cubs as an example. Anthony Rizzo is at high risk. I mean, he's beat cancer. And so if he gets COVID, it could be really bad. But he says he's going to play this year.
Well, he probably shouldn't.
So imagine, though, being in that clubhouse and being like, well, Riz is coming out here every single day, but Jose Quintana can't play this year because of a contract, because he doesn't want to lose out on money. This guy's risking his life for the team. I think that that's where it gets, you know.
I think that these guys, to each their own, but if you're there, you've got to make sure. Like, again, Yelich, he's 28. He doesn't have a lot of risk.
Will one big name drop out this season? I'm not talking about, like, any
like
of these
once
guys.
It starts?
No, like, before it starts. Like, a Mike Trout.
Well, David Price, like, is a big name.
10 years ago.
Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, okay, a big name. Bryce Harper, Chris Bryant, Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun. All those guys are going to play, though. I don't know if we'll see a big name sit out.
I don't know. See, this is not like the schedule is going to come out today and we're going to look at it, whatever.
Yeah. But we're going to win loss at 2 tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah. We could get to a point where the Brewers are 23-10 and, you know, there's a couple of cases in the clubhouse, and then a guy like Braun, who's having a good year, is just like, you know, I'm going to go home.
I don't know if we'll see that.
I think he might.
I think it'll be before the season that guys drop out.
I think we could see it during. The roster that's going to actually, whoever makes it to the World Series, should that happen, it's just going to be a hodgepodge, man. Things are going
to
get...
I just want this season to get weird. I kind of want it to get weird. Like, if the Pirates are in contention, that could easily happen. Like Yelich said right there. Like, I mean, what if a bad team starts off hot? And let's say that the Brewers start off 1-8, 1-9. Hell, like, look at the Cardinals last year, won the division. They were in third place after 60 games.
Well, let's say the Brewers start off 1-9.
It's over, pretty much.
So then the guys that were already on the fence go home.
Go home. Good point right there. Right.
If you're 1-9 and you're Ryan Braun, just go home.
Yeah, what's the point? Right. Ryan Braun, if you're a starting pitcher, if you're Brandon Woodruff and your team's 1-11, shut it down. What are you going to do?
Go home.
Getting injured? Right. In 2021, the thing is, though.
Especially the last 2 weeks. Think of the last 2 weeks of the season when teams are out of it. Why are guys still going to play if there's a risk?
See, the only thing is, though, there's going to be another battle coming up with the players and the owners where there could be another strike coming up here in 2021. And so
this is going to be a mess.
Right, it is. And so maybe if you're coming up on a free agency year, then you do want to go out and pitch, though, because you're going to try to earn as much money as possible because there's a good chance nobody's getting paid.
If I'm playing baseball and I'm on a bad team, and it's the last 2 weeks of the season, and I know we're not making the playoffs.
And guys already sit out regardless.
I'm going home.
Yeah, in a 162-game season, we see that all the time.
I'm going home.
Mainly with
pitchers. I'm not dealing with the protocols and going on the road and being away from my family.
Yeah.
My team sucks. I'm out of it. I'm going home.
Like, I'll tell you this, man. Corey Knebel coming back from Tommy John surgery in a 60-game season. I don't even know if it's worth it, to be quite honest. Imagine if you have a bunch of young arms. Like, if you're the Chicago White Sox and you got Kopech coming back from Tommy John surgery as well. And I'd rather have like 12, 13 good years of my 23, 24-year-old ace than rush him out there for a 60-game season, have him blow his arm out. Or just like the other thing is if they get rocked a couple times, their confidence, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here. I don't even know if we can make predictions this year. I mean, I know that we're probably going to. I really do want to win-loss the schedule, obviously. But, like, we have no idea what this product's going to look like. Who knows? Maybe the Reds go 42-18. Maybe they go 18-40. It's just we're rushing these guys back. If somebody tests positive, they're out for 2 weeks. I think we're going to see some injuries with guys rushing to get back out on the field. It's going to be weird.
414-799-1250. You can reach us. You can tweet us at 105.7FM. The Fan Facebook as well. Although, plan a good chunk of time if you're going to go to our Facebook page. There are some wild arguments on there that we should probably delete. And it's on the story about what is going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. They've had to shut down their facility. The latest on that as we continue to recap the season coming up next. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on the Fan.
Giannis, how about that? What an unbelievable play.
The countdown to the Bucks' return back to the championship.
We are continuing here on the show to recap the Bucks season as they are going to resume things in Disney. And this game that we're talking about today, there's nothing special about this game. The Bucks went to Brooklyn and beat the Nets by 20, 117-197. It was tight at the first half, the end of it at least, a 9-point lead until Middleton hit 2 3-pointers and the rout was on.
Another three, Chris Middleton.
See, and there's my point exactly. Jared Allen, what's he concerned about? Chris getting by him. So he gives him a gap, gives him a cushion. Chris able to pull that three-pointer off right in his face.
Giannis at 19 and 12 in this one. Middleton, 20 points, deflecting any of the praise afterwards. And this is why we're highlighting this game. First of all, this is the way the schedule mapped it out. And now I'm trying to come up with a reason to make this game sound more special. But again, it's special in that it's not special. These are the kind of games the Bucks played most of the season. Ho-hum, workmanlike, get your points, get some rest, win the game. Chris Middleton.
I'm more proud of what this team is doing. We're playing well, playing together, playing hard as we can. And we got bigger team goals that we want to accomplish.
I think the biggest goal there, and thank you, Bart Winkler, for your hard work. Really appreciating everything that you're doing behind the scenes to keep this show on the rails.
Yeah, great idea.
Rails.
To recap the season.
That was your idea.
Somebody tweeted in at 105.7FM, the Fan. They were like, hey, how about a season recap before the season begins? And Sparky was like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, I'm doing it every morning. Twice.
Yeah.
You were off and you still put one together.
Yeah. I'm not coming in to do a two-hour recap show when we've been recapping it.
And then
every day.
NBA TV then stole their idea and they did a half-hour recap.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. ours is better. Yours is better.
Oh, ours. Ours is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I love the music.
Sometimes I phone him in.
No. No, you don't. Only in, like, well, some of the games you can, though. Like, you don't phone in the Lakers game.
I didn't phone in this one. I made a point.
Right.
This was the kind of season that the Bucks are having. They are dominating teams, and now the biggest challenge that they have is COVID-19.
Yes.
It really is. The Bucks, the odds to go to the finals, it's Bucks, Clippers, Bucks, Lakers. Those are the most likely finals odds. Mm-hmm. We know that the Bucks are going to be the one seed. But the problem is, will this season get underway? And the Bucks, you guys may have heard it yesterday, they had to shut down their practice facility. They had to shut down the practice facility. There was a positive test of COVID-19. The worry that I have is they did the testing on Friday. They don't shut it down until Sunday. So hopefully it didn't spread. That's the problem with testing these guys. Sean Doolittle of the Nationals is doing a press conference on Sunday, says, I still don't know the results of my Friday test. So if he's positive, who has he interacted with? That is a concern. That is a concern that I have about this whole thing. Now, hopefully, once they get into this bubble, you see a lot of these tests now. It's good. Have the test now. I'm not too worried about it from the Bucks standpoint. You know, I'm worried about who has it.
Yeah.
But I'm not too worried that it's going to end the Bucks season or that the season is over. Other teams have actually, more facilities than you would hope have been shut down. The Clippers shut theirs down. The Nuggets shut theirs down. The Kings shut theirs down. The Nets. Although Spencer Dinwiddie, who says he's out, he might try to get back in. He might try to play now. He's been working out and wants to play again.
Well, he could pad his stats because the rest of the team has dropped like flies, so now he could put up 40 a game. You know what? Was it Doolittle? I usually take notes of this kind of stuff. I wasn't very well prepared. It was on Saturday or something like that, and you know, it was 4th of July, but still I was scrolling through Twitter and I saw an interview with one of these players. Maybe it was Doolittle. And they were being interviewed and they're like, look, I don't even know if we're going to play baseball. This is weird. Like, I am on a conference call with you talking to the reporters. He's like, you guys are wearing masks on a conference call. What are we doing? He said that twice. What are we doing here?
Yeah, it is really different as far as how the conference calls are going, because we just heard from Christian Yelich and we just heard from Chris Middleton. And just to give you guys... or we will hear from Chris Middleton next, but to give you guys a taste of what it's like, Christian Yelich, I think he did his interview at home. And Council, he did his at home, but Ryan Braun, for example, did it in the Brewers media room. Now, normally, it's Ryan Braun sits at the podium. You've seen the media room. It's where they introduce all these guys on their new contracts.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, 10 rows of seats and 60 people sit in there. What they have is people on a Zoom call, and if you're in Miller Park at all, you have to be wearing a mask at all times if you're a member of the media. You have to be wearing a mask at all times, and we can't go in certain places. We can really only go in the press box. Then when we're on Zoom, yeah, you're wearing a mask on Zoom. And it is, you know, it's different. Look, I get it. Wearing a mask, I wore a mask a long time on Wednesday. I was with my parents. And I wore a mask most of the day. Even in my backyard, I wore a mask with them.
Yeah.
And some of the neighbors, you know, they're looking like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's uncomfortable, but you got to do it.
Yeah, but these players are like, this is just bizarro land.
All of it's weird.
And that's what the guy, that I want to say that it was one of the members of the Nationals.
This whole thing is weird.
Like, this is
the fact
weird.
That we're trying to play sports during a pandemic is weird. But we're trying. And it's probably going to be a disaster. It probably will.
Which I know, but it's...
No way all these leagues finish.
I just agree, though, that, like, we gotta... Like, I think that this is gonna be here for a while. What are we gonna do? Shut down the world for the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, what about all these other countries? They're fine.
Well, they... Again, we're not gonna get into it today. It just, you know, they... Right away, they shut everything down, and you couldn't leave your house, and people followed instructions, and that's why... Right, yeah, KBO League Baseball, there hasn't been one positive test in that league, which should give us some hope, but, you know... Like, we've already seen the whole Phillies team has had COVID pretty much. So, like, you know, 7 to 8 players in the Philadelphia Phillies organization have COVID. I'm like, that's the whole team. So that's, like, literally the whole lineup, man. You know? I don't know how you're going to get it done. What if in the NBA Finals, I'll use basketball as an example, because in baseball, there's so many players. I mean, there's no minor leagues this year, so you could just call somebody up. Now, in the postseason, let's say it's Game 6 and Clayton Kershaw is scheduled to start. and he catches COVID, you're without, you know, former Cy Young winner. But imagine the NBA Finals. You get to the NBA Finals. You get LeBron versus Giannis, and they both test positive for COVID. Do you still have the NBA Finals? Do you shut things down for 2 weeks? Do you scrap the whole season? Or are we watching a final series where, you know, it's the best players on the team are Rajon Rondo taking on Eric Bledsoe?
I think if it's LeBron or Giannis, I think you have to finish it.
If it's Giannis, if it's I guarantee they go on business per usual. If it's LeBron,
sure,
they shut everything down. But
if
they
it's
come
both
back
of them, you got to take a 2 week break.
Great. I think if it's one of them, I think you should. That's my thing. There should be two designated players per each team that if they test positive for COVID, everything gets shut down once you get out of the first round.
Oh, absolutely happen.
Because in the first round, you could win a playoff series against the Orlando Magic without Chris Middleton or without Giannis. You could. The Magic are trash. Second round, I don't think you could win a seven-game series against the Miami Heat without Giannis. I really don't. Maybe if Middleton goes off for 30 a night, but imagine if you lose Middleton then. I feel like you have to have two designated players. And that should be the advantage if you played the regular season the right way. The Bucks should have two designated players, and so should the Lakers as the number one seeds. The Clippers, hey, you guys want to use load management? You don't want Kawhi playing back-to-backs? That's fine. You do not get the two designated players.
Well, then you should get another player from another team.
Well, I tried. That was my idea.
No, but like the Bucks should be able, if Giannis goes down and they're in the finals against
the
Lakers.
Call Damian Lillard.
They can get Kawhi.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. No, but seriously, though, that's what they should do. And not
so
just,
even if you're out of the playoffs, you still have to quarantine.
Not just with the top teams. I think that should be the rule, though. Two players per team designated. The whole thing gets shut down.
You might think, these are dumb ideas. Why are they talking about them? Playing sports this season is a dumb idea.
It's a 60-game baseball season. We're in extra innings. We just put a guy on second base.
Everything's a dumb idea.
Pitchers.
Everything goes.
Doesn't even go against their ERA.
The new season, everything goes. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM, the radio.com app. We'll hear from Money Middleton next on The Fan. When there's nothing to believe in, still you're coming back, you're running back, you're coming back for more.
One more time. Take it to the limit. Take it.
105.7 FM. Soft rock on the lake. This is Yacht Rock. I like Yacht Rock.
Oh, I love it.
This is the Eagles when they were at the Forum in 1976. They were also at the Forum in LA a few years ago. And if you missed it, you could have watched it on TV last night on ESPN.
Yeah.
They showed a 3-hour Eagles concert. Not the Philadelphia Eagles. They showed the Eagles. And if you missed it, it's on ESPN2 tonight. So these networks, these sports networks that have burned through all of their inventory, you know, there's some stuff coming back. Hopefully this basketball tournament is able to finish. A team had to drop out. But the Golden Eagles alumni are on ESPN tonight at 6. And MLS is going to try to do their tournament. And the NBA and all these leagues hopefully coming back. But other than that, I mean, they are at, what was on this weekend? Cornhole. I think you can watch a Survivor Series tomorrow on FS1 again tomorrow night. ESPN showed a 3-hour music concert.
Yeah,
putting
actually
the entertainment back in entertainment, sports, and programming network.
Yeah, good news. ESPN2 tomorrow will feature Guar live and unplugged.
Guar.
From 6 to 10. Yeah, Guar unplugged, 6 to 10 p.m. No, I just completely made that up. 0% chance that would ever happen. So I'm scrolling through
the popular unplugged series that MTV had in the 90s is coming back. Only ESPN's going to run it this time.
And Guar is on it.
Yeah.
But with their power ballads. Man, Unplugged was so good. The Nirvana one was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. When Cobain just looks up.
That was basically his funeral.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It was so good.
Good album, but.
Great album. You know who else? Eric Clapton's Unplugged was really good. Tears in Heaven was just beautiful. I cry every time I hear it. Anyway, what I was going to say, though, so I'm scrolling through the television last night. we'll see what's on ESPN. I'm looking for anything. You know, I want a bunch of money. Let's see if maybe we can find a weird soccer league that I don't know about, bet some more money. I see Eagles, the Eagles concert, 3 hours long, and I believe that there was play-by-play of the Eagles concert from Chris Berman, who happens to be a huge Eagles fan. Am I right on that?
He at least did the intro. I turned it on for a little bit just to see it.
Okay, because somebody tweeted out, hey, I'm watching the Eagles on Twitter, and I was like, oh, isn't you know, Boomer doing play-by-play? And they said, actually, Booger is.
Booger?
Yeah.
No.
Were they screwing with me?
Booger McFarlane?
See, what's happening here, Mike, is the Eagles are singing into the microphone.
The Eagles are a band, and they play instruments, and that makes a sound that we call music.
See, the Hotel California is a song, Mike, and it is a song about a hotel that was in California. But yeah, no, I almost watched. I actually liked the Eagles. I didn't tune in, but I was like, man, ESPN's running out of content. Pretty soon we'll have Dave Matthews Band concerts, maybe some John Mayer. I mean, what else is there, though? What else is there?
Well, I mean, they have live programming right now. They're showing Korean baseball. They're showing, you know, the MLS this week. They're showing Italian Soccer League. Just the four-letter network. Wow, we have done a great disservice.
Boxing.
They're showing boxing Thursday and Tuesday nights, which no one is watching.
Have you checked the ratings for those?
Bad.
Awful? Because it's terrible, man.
About 200,000 people watch ESPN boxing on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, okay.
Likewise, to give you an example, there's about 400,000 people watching an English Premier League soccer game at noon on a Tuesday. Yikes. On NBC Sports, which is in far fewer homes.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Clay Travis than boxing. And I'm a boxing fan, but the product has been terrible.
I'd only watch Clay Travis if he was getting punched in the face.
By Mike Florio. I would watch, like, I liked, I watched the big ones, like the Wilder Fury fight. I watched that one, and I'll pay money for it. If Mayweather's going to fight, I know it's going to be a terrible fight. I know it's going to go to the distance, and I know he's just going to kind of dance around the whole time, but I'll spend $100 on it. Even if he's fighting McGregor and it's just all for show, I'll spend the money on it. But this ESPN, these Tuesday night fights, Thursday night fights have been so bad, just awful. The UFC and golf and soccer have saved my summer. The UFC has been tremendous. And now we get Fight Island this Saturday.
There was a huge redo of the card this weekend.
Yeah. And Khabib's father passed away from COVID-19. So I think maybe some guys will be scared off of, you know, some guys will take this stuff a little bit more seriously. But, you know, the thing is, these fighters don't make a whole lot of money. So I think guys will show up to Fight Island. But, yeah, the main event's already been changed. I'm still all in. Take my money now. I can't wait to see what Fight Island actually looks like.
You are more of a bro every day.
I guess.
414-799-1250. You can tweet us. 105.7 FM. The Fan. We'll hear from Chris Middleton in just a second. Hey, I want to remind you about my friends over at Window Select. There is a certain pride you get from owning a home and taking care of it. And if you've, you know, been around the last few months, you know your home very well, maybe more than you ever thought you would. And you want to make sure you can see it in a new light. It's a project that you always are doing something on, and at least you can take care of the window part of it now with Window Select and be good for the long term. What they have on their products in Window Select, Menominee Falls, Milwaukee-based, proudly serving Wisconsin homeowners, they have high-quality and energy-efficient products that come with not just a lifetime guarantee, but a double lifetime guarantee. So you get these products, you get this double lifetime warranty, you're going to be good to go for two of your lives. One of the best warranties in the entire industry is available for you locally with Window Select. For every window you buy, by the way, for every window you buy, you get one free. A buy one, get one on windows. They have that available. They will personally install them into your home because they know their products better than anybody. Call them today. You'll get a free in-home estimate. They won't charge you for that. And then they'll set you up with no payments until 2021, and buy one, get one free on the windows. Buy one, get one free on the windows at Window Select. They are pumped to be able to provide this offer to you. They will continue to do that. Window Select. WindowSelect.com. Buy one, get one on the windows. WindowSelect.com. Check them out. 262-703-3500. We will hear from Money Middleton. We'll do that next.
I think I was probably not able to touch a basketball for maybe 2-3 months, which is definitely the longest I've been without a basketball since I can't remember. But definitely, like I said, it feels great to be back.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like these guys to be shooting and getting up shots, but if Chris Middleton, who has been playing basketball his whole life, didn't touch one for 2 months, it's not like he picks up the ball and is like, where does this go? And it's not like he starts to kick it or he tries to eat it. He knows what a basketball is. He knows how to do it. I'm not too worried about that.
Social media is. Middleton was getting hammered, especially after signing that contract. He makes $30 million a year, and he can't pick up a basketball. I do find it a little strange that I've picked up a basketball, me and my son, more than Chris Middleton the last 3 months.
Wow.
But it is what it is, man. I'm not worried about it
Social
at all.
Social media also went after Aaron Jones of the Packers.
Yeah.
Who was playing PS4 as his wife was sitting there, his girlfriend ready to give birth. First of all, I almost did that too. I brought my computer when my wife was in the hospital.
Michigan was playing Notre Dame. I'm a huge Notre Dame fan, and it was going to be their last meeting. Obviously, they've met since. And my wife went into labor, and I said, could it wait until after the game? And she reminds me to this day because I was like, this is the last time we're going to get Notre Dame, Michigan.
We were there for 12 hours before the action started happening. What am I supposed to do? Yeah, sit there?
You're there all – my wife was like, go
home. Read magazines?
Right. She was like, go home.
What's the difference between reading a magazine and bringing your PS4?
Yes.
In the birthing class I went to, they encouraged, hey, bring something to pass the time.
Right.
They encouraged it.
Yeah.
So Aaron Jones, let's not cancel Aaron Jones because he played a little Warzone while his girlfriend – was in labor, and I didn't even see the follow-up. Did they, has everything gone? They had the baby? I didn't even see. I just saw everybody getting mad at Aaron Jones. You know, his girlfriend, is about to pop, and he's got to worry about Twitter people coming after him because he's playing a little PS4. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chris Middleton, you heard from him there. We'll hear from him over the next few minutes, and then want to hear from Ryan Braun. A lot of our athletes back in town, sort of at the same time. Now, the Bucks is a different situation right now because they did have to shut down their practice facility. So those guys practice, and Giannis talked last week, and then they practice, and Chris Middleton talked on Friday. We were going to hear from more guys this week, but now we are not, as there are no practices. There's no practice facility because it's been shut down. The team is supposed to go to Orlando on Thursday. We don't know who tested positive. We don't know if it was a player, staff, or whatever. I'm sure we'll find out at some point. But right now, they are not practicing the rest of the week. Now, you would like to see whoever's got it now, you know, be cured and get away from the team. Because once you get in the bubble at Disney, that's when you don't want it to spread. It's one thing to keep it out. It's going to be hard to do that. Because if it gets in, oh my God, it's just going to spread like wildfire. Chris Middleton, though, feels safe with what the NBA's plan is.
I mean, there's definitely going to be some type of caution with this virus out there wherever we're at nowadays. But I think the way the NBA set up this bubble is going to protect us, you know, better than, you know, being out and about. I feel like they have so many testing requirements, so many visitor requirements, stuff like that, where, you know, not anybody just can just come in and out and visit and, you know, hopefully not get somebody sick. But I don't think guys are, you know, extremely scared of going down to Orlando because of the virus, but we're definitely cautious a little bit, which I think everybody has to be.
And very cautious after, again, what happened yesterday. More details on that when we have them here on The Fan and at 105.7FMTheFan.com. Now, when the Bucks get there, they announced there's going to be 3 scrimmages, and then they're going to have the 8 games. How hard are the Bucks going to go in those 8 games? They don't have a lot to play for. They're not playing for home court advantage because that's gone. They're really not playing for the 1 seed because as of right now, they are 6.5 games up on the 2-seeded Raptors. So you'd almost have to lose all of your games not to get the 1 seed. And again, it barely matters other than opponent. But, you know, the 8 seed's going to kind of work itself out. You're not going to game your games to try to play either the Nets or the Magic or, gosh, even the Wizards. So how hard are the Bucks going to go in those 8 games?
I mean, I don't think anybody has, at least the players, we don't have an answer to that right now because we definitely just got back in the gym and got our schedule and the way things are going to be done in Orlando. So I think, you know, once we get down there, we'll have a better idea of how it's going to go with Bud, choosing to do with our team and the rotations and the minutes and whatnot. But at least from a player's aspect, I mean, you can expect us to go out there and play as best as we can, as hard as we can during these situations, because that's the only thing we can control, really.
So it sounds like not that hard. Chris Middleton, though, is eager to find things to do when they do get there, assuming this goes on. I do feel like I have to say that over and over. And one of those things that he wants to do is what my idea was from the start. These guys should be able to watch the other games, and Chris Middleton is all aboard.
I'd definitely be interested in that. I mean, at home, you know, I watch tons of the games on TV. And, you know, knowing that we're not going to have much to do, if there's games that I want to see, why not just go check out a game? One, for fun. Two, just, you know, watch basketball, be a fan. And three, just, you know, I guess get an inside scout on what that team is doing and on their players and how they're playing and whatnot. But, I mean, I think going to the games is a good thing. It's a good thing, good way to get out the room, find a way to socialize, I guess, in some type of aspect, and just enjoy it.
You mentioned earlier, Horvat, the basketball tournament. It's the tournament. There's a lot of, like, overseas guys and alumni. The Golden Eagles play tonight at 6. It was supposed to be 8, but it's 6 now because one team got booted because of a...
Yeah, I had to readjust my whole schedule. Thanks a lot, TBT.
Positive case. Well, this will allow me time to finish Monday Night Raw. You know, I was going to have to watch the end of Monday Night Raw, probably Angel Garza versus Akira Tozawa.
God bless your soul for continuing to watch that crap.
I am a loser. But with it coming to the game tonight, we've seen you can at least check it out. If you haven't watched the tournament at all, get a glimpse of what it's like where there are no fans.
Yeah.
There's still the teams on the bench that are rooting for their team. And I think that you add some players in there, I think it's not going to be as silent or painful as the initial thought of watching a 5-5 in an empty gym is. Because it's not going to be entirely empty. There will be their teams for sure that will cheer. And then if you have these other NBA guys, I think it could be very interesting.
Yeah, I think it'll be just fine. But I do like the idea that Adam Silver talked about where they'd pump in some noise from the NBA 2K games. I play these games religiously. And what you could do, you know, if the Bucks are the home team, give them the defense chant. You could play the music, have a little noise in the background. But I think that they should do it not only for the broadcast, but they should pump it into the arena too so the players have something going on too, some noise. Because, like, we talk about soccer, you know, and if you're watching these Premier League games, they'll say, hey, we were pumping in this fake crowd noise that we've used, you know, we've stolen it from other games and whatnot. But if you want to hear the broadcast without the crowd noise, you could turn to this channel. And I turn to that channel, I flip over, and I'm like, oh, I can't do this. And I flip back to the station that has the fake crowd noise. I think the NBA should pump that in. Not only for the broadcast, but for the players,
I don't know
too.
If they for should the do it too. During the game.
Well, because I don't want the game delayed because of the trash talk, because these guys are going to be MFing each other up and down the court.
Yeah. I honestly, if you have a game between the Bucks or the Lakers, and there's even 100 other NBA guys that want to come watch that game, you're not going to need fake anything. I think that's going to be
true. Okay.
A very wild experience. So I hope that they are able to get down there and do this, because it could be so unique. You don't want to see it every year, but for 1 year, I think they can find a silver lining.
Yeah.
An Adam Silver lining.
I'd like to see the Clippers heckle the Lakers, like Pat Beverly, like just yelling stuff to LeBron the whole time.
I'm not going to waste my gold content if I'm not going to get a reaction from you. An Adam Silver lining.
I didn't think it was good. It wasn't great, to be honest with you, so I just ignored it. Sorry. And now we lost the music.
An Adam Silver lining. I get paid to do this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.